Hi there, I'm Cecile Garrett, editor of Boat International US Edition. I recently sat down in South Florida with Niels Vassen, CEO of Hessen Yachts, and Thomas Comboy, the head of US sales, following major headlines around the Dutch shipyard. We met at the Hessen US office in Fort Lauderdale, the Wall Street of yachting, as Tom calls it, just weeks after the company's acquisition by Dutch entrepreneur Laurens Last and the passing of its founder, Frans Hessen, only 2 weeks later. Our conversation touched on legacy, innovation, the sleek 57-meter Santosha, a 22-knot all-aluminum award winner, designers, the future of boat shows, and much more. I hope you enjoy the conversation. We are with Tom Comboy, who heads the U.S. sales for Hessen Yachts, and Niels Vassen, who is the CEO, visiting Fort Lauderdale for a few days in the beautiful Hessen Yachts office in Fort Lauderdale. How long has the office been here, remind me?
We've had an office right here in this particular location. We've been here now, 10, 12 years, I guess. And before, we were just across the street.
Wow. Yeah, the history of Hessen with the U.S. market goes back quite a few years, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Frans started in 78. Probably the most famous story is John Sulupi and Octopussy in 91, which was the fastest motor yacht in the world at 53.7 knots.
Yeah.
So that really kind of put Hessen on the map. And then in the start of these, in 2002, really started it with kind of the new 37-meter series and the spec boat series and things of that nature. So so the last 23 years have probably been, it was a little bit of an apple, orange, or grapefruit as far as their production line. It was a little bit, it didn't follow a kind of a family theme where, we're now going from 37 meter, we built 44 meter, 47 meter, 50 meter, 55, 57, 60, 65, 80, 67. Yeah. So we've, but now we're pretty much 50 to 80 with a concentration between 50 and 65.
Yeah, it's an amazing growth that's been going on at Hessen. But the last few weeks have been very eventful. Obviously, we learn of the death of the founder, Frans Hessen, sadly. But also of a new owner who has taken over. Why don't we start with Frans, give him a little bit of time, because he was quite an amazing large size individual who had such an impact on the industry. What can you tell me about Frans, Niels?
Yeah, he was a real entrepreneur.
Yeah,
he was pretty innovative, and what's also very important, he really created the family feel in the shipyard, and he did that as from the beginning, from 78. And yeah, as of today, ownership has changed a few times. We come back to the latest ownership, but all those elements are still in the shipyard, and that's, I think, very important. So the philosophy of Frans is still alive in the shipyard in Oss. Yeah. That will remain.
Yeah. I remember going there many years ago, and he was already semi-retired, but he showed up anyway. Yeah. I think I heard the story. He was always there all the time. You've known him quite some time,
yeah.
Tom.
Do you remember he was a character, man. There was a uniqueness about him that will. It's like if you look at Henry Berger and Walter Heusman and, Bob Director and some of these guys, Frans was right there with his own, so many stories. I mean, he would throw it all on the line and, he was quite a unique guy. I mean, you knew him. I mean, he always had his cigar, he was missing some fingers and, he dealt all over the world, but everybody knew Frans. I think probably the coolest thing I ever remember him saying, and there was a lot of things, but what comes to mind is always everybody wants to get a boat quicker. Can you fast up? I need it on June. I don't want it in July. I need it now. And Frans would say, 9 women can't make a baby in a month. And it was very kind of like, okay, you get it.
Yeah.
So things like that. But there's so many stories, and he'll be missed by many people. And, I think he was, he sold the shipyard. He probably, there's not a lot of mom and pop yards left anymore. You have to have big finances and big things, but I think when he sold the yard, he sold a little bit of his own soul. He really was always, the shipyard was always in his DNA.
Right. Well, and it's his name out there still.
And I think the biggest thing is the fact that the current shareholder, Laurens Last, who's a Dutchman, And Niels will tell you that he talked to the family, and Franz kind of knew it. He wasn't so in good, such good health the last year or so, but he did hang on, and it was only 2 weeks after the purchase of the shipyard that he passed away.
So he knew about it.
Yeah, he knew, and he realized. I spoke to the son of Franz, and they told him that the shipyard was sold to another Dutchman.
Yeah.
And he really got that, and yeah, it's pretty ironical that a few weeks later, Franz passed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically the circle is round again. That Franz, as a Dutchman, started the company. And now we are back. We are very happy because obviously the shipyard was for sale.
Yeah.
We had multiple parties interested in the shipyard. And yeah, we concluded in our view with the perfect profile. We got a Dutchman, an entrepreneur, innovative character, a billionaire. And I think most importantly, he's a yachter. He loves boats.
I hear that. Yeah.
He has a few boats and he has a lot of knowledge about
boats. No Histon though, does he?
Not yet. Not yet, but we are already, he was last week in the shipyard with his team, and we were already discussing his first Histon yacht, so he definitely going to order a Histon yacht, I'm sure about that.
Do you expect him to be at the shipyard as often as Franz was?
No, not that often, but for sure he will be involved.
Yeah.
For the reason that he wants to know what his company is doing, and secondly, because he likes it. You could see it in his face, he's very passionate about yachting, so for sure he will look around what we are building, what the designs are. But he's a shareholder, he's a little bit of distance, but he will definitely be connected.
Yeah, in some ways they have a little bit of similarities. Well, Franz came from the entrepreneurial world. He was not actually building boats. I mean, that was not his thing.
Yeah.
And he just came in because I guess he had a passion for it. Also, it was an investment opportunity, I imagine. It was so maybe a little bit of similarity. And obviously, a Dutchman, just like the new owner. How important is that for you, you think, to have the shipyard back in the...
I think it's very important. As Histon, we are one of the few shipyards who really built everything in Holland. Mm-hmm. We are known as Crafted in Holland, home of yacht building. So his profile, the Dutch identity remains, and that's very important for us. So yeah, I think Dutch shipyard stands for quality and good performance of the yachts, and that totally matches the profile of our new shareholders. So we think it's very important.
Yeah, there's such pride in the Netherlands for the craftsmanship. I mean, every time I go there, I'm so impressed. And it's so funny because the country is not super large. So when you're driving, you cannot recognize the names of the shipyards and the suppliers crisscrossing the country. It's amazing. And there are boats everywhere. And, you know, you see them cross the whole countryside. It's amazing.
The flat countryside. Yeah. You can see it from everywhere.
What do you think attracted this new owner to the brand particularly?
Yeah, of course, one that's Dutch, as obviously to the brand itself, because we are one of the top tier brands. Yeah, and he likes our designs and the amount of yachts we are building. Of course, also the family feel of the shipyard when he visited the shipyard, the management, but also the people on the shop floor building the boats. It's a little bit of feeling you must have. And yeah, he was attracted to that because when he first visited the shipyard, it went pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's an impressive shipyard to visit. I mean, every time I go there, I'm impressed. So how important is it for your clients in the U.S. market? That Dutch label is very important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the cultures of the American and the Dutch are quite business cultures, some similar. They get along quite well. Culturally, they're way different. I think it's great stability. You know, I mean, we have, we've come through, an interesting time, and this stability gives a lot to it. There was a lot of potential buyers for the yard. You know, something like this doesn't come along very often. There's only, maybe 7 or 8 yards of the northern, Germany and Holland that build the top tier boats. Yeah. So, it's not like, tomorrow there's, Fed ships available or Amels is available. I mean, it's the elite of the elite. It's the creme de la creme.
Yeah.
And I think that it's strong and stable is probably the best thing. Strong financially and just business culture. So yeah, I think it's nothing but positive.
Well, speaking of quality, it was recognized very recently in Venice with the World Shipyard Awards. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
On the beautiful Santosha winning this award. I may add that earlier in the year, it also won a Boat Design Innovation Award. So yeah, people are really appreciating it.
Must be a good boat down there.
It must be, I guess. Were you surprised with the win, or did you expect it? Or
No, I mean, I don't know if surprised. I mean, it's a pretty unique boat because if you look beyond, you know, the category it was, it's, we really are alone with this 55-meter series that we have and the 57-meter, which won the award. We have another one available in 27. You know, there's a lot of features that are, you know, you can operate anywhere in the world, but the draft of the boat is 2.3 or 7.6 feet. It's 188 feet or 57 meters. It does 22 knots, has six staterooms, has a real proper elevator or lift. You know, the volume of it is 780 GT, very aggressive looking boat. Yeah. Harrison Isgard did the interior, which is extraordinary, with the owner's wife, who was very defined in what she wanted. And then Frank Lopman did the exterior styling, and he's got a bit of the DNA of the Thiessen kind of family. You know, we have a particular look that's, you can identify a Thiessen, I think, that's somewhat useful.
That's fully customized by the owners, because we were building the platform, we were building the hull already, and the client stepped in, I think, 1.5-2 years before delivery.
Yeah.
So they totally customized the interior together with us and with the designers. So it's basically a semi-custom in the end. So you can see that when you walk on board.
Yeah. It is a beautiful boat. I think, I guess Omega has been involved with Thiessen for years now. Huh?
Yep. We work with a lot of different designers. Frank Lopman and Omega have been with us for a long time. You know, we work with over the years, we've Andrew Winch, Terrence Dizdale, Dickie Vandenberg, Espen Owen, now we're working currently with Harrison and Isgard, Ben Harrison and Peter Isgard. Luca Dini is doing our 55-meter now.
Oh, that's right.
Cristiano Gatto has done a lot of boats with us. Francesco Pasowski has done boats with us. So we have had, we always tried to have, you know, it's funny enough that most of the yacht designers, interior and exterior, either in the UK or in Italy.
Right.
You know, it's not, and there's obviously in other places, but there's a concentration. So with the Dutch craftsmanship to bring that style and adding that to it, either Italian or English, that it just enhances the whole pedigree of the boat. Mm-hmm. And it and each model we have a different designer, and we don't stay with the same people. We try to change and just keep freshening up the designs.
Keep the
and even with the same interior designer, every boat is different.
Yeah.
I gave a total. I'm always surprised because it's the same platform, same. Let's say the structure is the same, but the look and feel of the interior, single boat is totally different.
Well, talking about a bit more recent delivery, Santosha already was delivered a few months ago, but you just delivered a new Soulmates.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, sure. It's 55-meter steel. It has been restyled 1 year ago, I think, to a U.S. Customer. Tom can tell more about it, but it's a U.S. customer, a repeat customer.
Sounds familiar. Wasn't there a previous 55-meter?
Yeah, this is hull 11, and this gentleman had hull 5. And we delivered the first Soulmates in before the pandemic. I think maybe 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he got an offer that he couldn't refuse. I think he was a little bit sad, maybe buyer's or seller's remorse, I guess, and then went and built another boat in Holland, a smaller boat, and then came back to us, and now the new Soulmates or Soulmates 2. He's a big fan of the yard, and so we're happy to see a repeat customer.
Yeah. And the boat will be also a Monaco Yacht Show for display,
as well
in Palm Beach in the USA. So we got two boat shows to show the boat.
Oh, that's great.
Brand new.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
It's always tough to
do. That's a client you got to keep
happy.
Yeah. He will allow you to show the boat. That's important.
He's very happy. He was just on board, I think.
Yeah, he was on board last weekend.
For the first time.
Oh, so very, nice. Very happy.
Did he make the tulips? I heard he wanted to see the tulips. Did you see
them? No, because he joined the boat down in the south of France.
Ah, well, no. No tulips there.
No tulips there. We can send him a bunch. So.
Well, obviously, he's a notable client in the U.S. market. I think you've done quite well, right? Probably under Tom's leadership with this market. Can you speak of some of the other notable yachts that you've sold here over the years?
We've sold Bookends has been a couple of them. Laurentia, Man of Steel, two or three Man of Steels, Soulmate, Arcadia, Omega, Omaha. So yeah, we've been it's been a good run. I mean, it's a good solid market. You know, mostly it's right here. It's kind of easy because the yacht business is right here outside of our front door.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be in New York or Seattle or Los Angeles, you know, or even Palm Beach or Miami. Fort Lauderdale is kind of the, you know, they used to call it the yachting capital of the world, but it's kind of the Wall Street of yachting, I would call it, because all of the business, you know, be it if it's a flag, a brokerage, a bank, a manager, you know, all of the training for all of the captains is right over here on Andrews Avenue. So the business end of the yacht business in this part of the world is right here.
Yeah.
You go to lunch and you go see the, I tell my colleagues we're in a 365 day a year boat show here. Because yeah. No matter what you do, you're talking to somebody that day about boats.
Yeah.
You
know? That's also good for after sales, huh? Because we have, in the meantime, a pretty good fleet over here. And if there are some issues or they need some spare parts, whatever, they call Tom's office.
Yeah.
So do you have a structure or agreement with a shipyard or?
Yeah, no, we do all the after sales. Yeah, okay. You know, so my background comes from the shipyard business. That's kind of how I got affiliated with the yard to begin with. But one of the strong things that we offer is when you buy the boat is we do the after sales. We have a great after sales department at the shipyard. But we have a whole structure here. We have dedicated people on the ground, and we almost everything because we have all the trades that we work with, and we work hand in hand with the shipyard, obviously with design. But we save a lot of time and travel because we're able to mostly take care of almost all problems. Every once in a while, we'll have, you know, some of the guys that built the boat come in to solve a problem that maybe we can't get our head around. But for the most part. It's been a really good good working relationship.
It's so good that we have this office over here.
Yeah.
You cannot do everything from Holland. You can try to, but this helps.
It's probably one of the, you know, nicer rep office, I should say. Or actually, it's really shipyard, really, here in Fort Lauderdale. And I think that's a good idea. Even if they don't come, it's nice that there's a structure here. I think it probably is a very good thing. And you can see the beautiful models around.
Yeah, we have everything here. So it's really handy because there's a lot of people that, you know, they're here. They want to, you know, somebody wants to meet their client down in Miami or Palm Beach or here, whatever. We have every model. We have all of the real-time information here. We can, you know, check right in on a big screen with the shipyard. I mean, so we've had great success here. You know, like I say, we've had an office right here on 17th Street since 2002.
Right. So I was actually in the Netherlands last week, and one of the places I didn't go was Hissen, not because I didn't want to, but it happens that it didn't really work for the team there. But when I was visiting the yards, I was impressed, not that we speak about who the owners are so much. Well, of course, we are interested, but we know about NDAs and so forth. But, you know, there is a lot going on for U.S. clients at the moment. A lot of the yards that are doing quite well in the Netherlands have gone up in the past few years because of the increase of sales to the US market. Yet most of them, if they talked about sales, said, you know, of recent weeks, things have kind of softened up a bit and quite abruptly. Do you have that feeling yourself or what's going on?
We're definitely in a down cycle. There's no doubt about it. You know, we came out of COVID and nobody ever imagined what we would see in there from June of 2020 to, you know, the beginning of 22, everybody sold more boats than they had ever sold.
Right.
Then the problem hit was the inflation hit. And so, you know, everybody kind of, you know, especially yards that build 70, 80, 190 meter boats, you know, when you sign a boat here and then the inflation in Holland was 18% in September of 21.
Oh, well.
So it's been a rough time for shipyards. And then, of course, we're in a down cycle. We haven't had a down cycle since 2008. And the down cycle is here. We think we're coming out of it. There's a lot of good press coming out with this, with what's happening in trades. The money is always here to buy these things, these boats, but it's something that no one needs.
I hear
it's a depreciating asset. It costs a lot of money. So if your confidence isn't high, then you tend to say, well, you know, I'll pause for now.
Mm-hmm.
We're very optimistic. We're always got, you know, half a dozen people that we're talking to. You know, it takes time to cultivate. You know, there's very few times that somebody, you talk from the time you start talking to them, do they buy a boat in the first 90 days? It takes sometimes years.
Yeah.
You know, but usually there's a period of time, at least 6 months. you know, to get before you actually get the thing signed. And, you know, and we lose a lot of business to first time guys to the yards in Turkey and Italy on price.
Yeah.
And, you know, our best profile of a guy who's more brand oriented or is maybe coming out of something that's not Northern European. But it's a process and it's a lot of frogs you kiss. More disappointment than there is, like, you know, we give this chocolate ball out every boat that we sign at the shipyard. And it's quite an event to sign a boat. You know, I mean, if you sign something like this, it's
four times per year on average. We deliver four boats per year, and we sell four boats per year on average. So every quarter there's a chocolate cake and a delivery.
Yeah.
In principle, sometimes a little bit less, but then another quarter a little bit more. Yeah.
Do you find a really strong correlation between yacht sales and the stock market? Not really.
You know, I mean, listen, if the market's good, I think we follow the trend of over here. We if the car dealers are going well, we're probably going well. If stock market's really good, we're probably really good.
It's certainty. I mean, in the end, it's an emotional purchase.
Yeah.
If clients feel confident, feel certain, then they start buying boats. But if you have all the money in the world, but there's no confidence, you're emotionally not attached to buy a super yacht.
Yeah.
So hopefully everything stabilizes now. It looks like it, hopefully, as at least of today.
Very good.
And I'm sure the market will pick up.
Yeah, I think. Listen, it's there's a great future coming. The biggest transfer of wealth is going from the baby boomers to their children over the next, and starting now. You know, there's only so many high-end brands that you can buy. And we build, as he was saying, we launch four boats a year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a limited production. You know, and the future is grand, and it's expected. Like I say, we haven't had a real downturn since 2008. And we're in one, and we're going to come out like we always do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought the car business. I was going to ask you. It seems like for the car business is quite different. Obviously, the prices is very different. The volume is quite different. But they do seem to keep their clientele interested by, you know, throwing new models every now and then, which seems to be fairly common. You can't do that in the yachting world quite as much. But Heesen has. You know, launch a number of models. How frequently do you feel the need to introduce something new? And what's the driver there?
I would say on average, one new model per year, which we launched.
Really?
We've launched, last year we launched Grace, the 50 meter steel.
Right.
Which was our first, we are building now the first one, which is in the whole construction phase. The year before we launched Akira, the Santosha one, which is awarded last month. And of course, we're now working as well on new designs, which I'm sure, Cecile, you want to know.
I want to know.
But
always
I cannot
what's
tell
happening
you.
Tomorrow. Ah, no.
I can't tell you. Sorry. But I can assure you one thing, that we will hit the market with some new designs within now in a year, where we are working right now. And we do also restyles on the 55 meter. Thomas telling that we are building hull number 11. But hull number 1 and hull number 11, pretty different. So we do restyles every once in a while. And yeah, when do we change? That's a good question. Sometimes you change after 3 to 4 models, but when you see that the model is still successful and the appetite is still high from the market, then we don't change, because you invest all the D&D, a lot of cost, also for the client, because when you buy a proven platform from client side, they have certainty about that the boat performs and should do what it would, does what it should do.
Absolutely.
So that's a big plus.
Makes sense.
And it saves time, when you have a proven platform where you build on, it saves you 9 months.
Yeah. I guess, for the shipyard, obviously, profitability is a big deal, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm actually Evo, so it still is.
Too.
Yeah.
Yes. So you have to build so many of the similar boats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as not to reinvest constantly in R&D, I guess. Makes sense.
And also our mix, which will remain the same. Yeah, I think, you know, we do, on the one hand, we do full customs, which we've done a lot in the past, but also our Siri models. And on average, I would say we do 1 custom and 3 Siri boats.
Oh, really?
That mix.
Okay.
On average. Sometimes it can be a little bit unbalanced, but in principle, on average, over the last 10 years, that's the balance we built, and that's definitely what we will continue, because we're good at that.
I wanted to address that spec model speculation, so basically building the boat before there is a client. I think Heesen was one of the early adopter of that style.
Yeah.
So it's been quite successful.
2002.
France started already,
2002
with Lady Ingeborg, the 37 meter. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it really started. So, you know, 37 meter, we built like 9 of them, 44 meter,
wow,
6 of them. The Satori 50 meter, which was aluminum, we built 9 of them. And then there was sprinkled in there like a steel boat called Seven Sins, 41 meter, Man of Steel 50, My Sky, both 50 meter steel in the 600 range. Then the real jump was then it was to Galactica Star,
right,
which was, you know, was just, you know, we had Galactica, the 50 meter, which was a big, way over 550 GT, then Galactica Star, and then the introduction of the 55s, the Nova series, which was home, you know, Amari, Erica, and Ella, and Orion, you know, so it's always been, you know, the spec boat, you know, series boat, whatever you may want to call it, still there's not one that's the same. They might have the same profile, but it works. True custom one-off building is very, very risky, and it's hard to make money at because you're putting so much upfront engineering hours into it.
Sure.
That, you know, when you're building a series boat by, you know, you get down to what they call maintenance hours, you know, and so it's like when you build something again and again. And again, when you go to a car dealer, you pick your car, you pick your tires and your interior and the color of the car and maybe some other features. You don't pick the fuel pump and the exhaust system and things like that. So it's not unlike that.
Right.
You know, you can really personalize, and you know, when that car is your car, this is your boat to your specs. So it works. You make money.
Yeah.
It's
amazing to me. I think I've written that story a few times. That a lot of time you have a boat going quite far, and then the client comes, and of course they want to do some things to the interior and make it their own. So,
well, that's the beauty of our what we do, is because the boats don't come with interior, exterior, loose furniture. You know, you have the choice of everything. So right. When you come in, we try to build a fairly neutral palette, and then you accessorize it with all your stuff, and you can see where, you know, the difference. There's, you know, you can go on the exact same model boat and they're completely different interiors. But that is the nice thing about it. That boat is so personalized and you get to do all of the fun stuff.
And the big advantage is that we have our own interior facility. So Heesignals Interiors is located in the Netherlands, a 1 hour drive from us. We have 160 people working there, and that's owned by Heesign. It's our own company. So you can control it and manage it. And B, you get decent cost prices.
Right.
So if you have a client who wants to change stuff and you need to go external, of course, it's possible, but it costs more time and more money.
Certainly.
And we control it. So we can pretty easily, not you cannot change everything, but pretty easily we can adopt changes of the client. Yeah.
But I am impressed when I you know, sometimes speak with you guys and the clients that, you know, it's not just fluff and puff. It's not just the color of the pillows. Flexible, it seems, in making.
Well, I mean, if you get into it, depends on when you get in the build. I mean, right. If you like, you know, maybe you want to change the upper deck, and you want to add a head, you want to get rid of the pool, you want to, you want to take this, you know, as long as you don't get into structural bulkheads, you know, you can't move the engine room from where it is, or you know,
you can't put the engine room in the sun deck. That's a little bit different.
But for the most part, as flexible as we can, and you know, it closes in the closer to delivery. So a year out, you can still personalize the boat. Once you start getting inside of that, you know, there's only so much you can do that would, you know, if you want to wait or whatever, but
you'll have to change the board at the end of the
the color of the cushions, and we come a week before delivery. Yeah, but it's one of the success factors of our shipyard, the spec building, and also because clients can afford everything, they can buy everything except time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So some clients don't want to wait for 3-4 years; they want to wait 1, max 2 years.
Yeah.
If you were to sign a custom boat anywhere in Europe right now, you're looking at the earliest delivered
4 or 5.
You know, 29. I mean, we would be able to deliver some. So, and or you know, we have a boat that's, you know, ready in 6 months. You know, so you know, there's a lot of, you know, time. Can't buy time.
Yeah.
Can't buy time.
Well, since you touched on it, I want to talk about your current global order book. I looked at the website before I came. I saw some very nice boats coming up in the next few months. So what's coming up?
Well, we've got a nice mix, as we were just talking about, 55, 57, 62, new 50 steel, brand new 57 full custom 900 GT boat for an existing guy. So it's a nice mix. We're developing some the steel boats in the 60 meter range. The new shareholder is probably going to be in there in that kind of size range. Mm-hmm. So it's our concentration is going to be 50 to 65. If somebody comes with a 68 or 70 meter, we do have some restrictions as far as bridge heights and things like that. But we also, we build all of our steel boats in Rotterdam. All of our aluminum work is done in-house, and we have other avenues as far as if somebody wanted to go bigger. But we're pretty good in that size range. We're very good because our Dutch counterparts and German counterparts are all 65, 70, and bigger. So we're kind of alone with the models that we have. And so, it's good. It's a good place to be.
And we do more and more steel, because we are used to know for the old days, aluminium. That's what Frans Heesen started. We did a lot of aluminium fast boats.
Yeah.
But as of today, I think 70% of the boats we build is steel.
Really?
And the aluminium we build is on one end used for speed, but also used for shallow draft for the Bahamas. Wow. We build a few aluminium hulls, which are not speedy, but it's just lightweight aluminium for the shallow draft. So we more and more have moved to a steel builder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we also do, like Tom said, in Holland. The steel hulls are also made in Holland.
Yeah, we're top to bottom in the Netherlands, everything.
Well, France is Model 1 with the boats that he built. Speed was a big deal with Heesen. And then with the market and the habits changing a little bit, you still build fairly fast boats.
We build the fastest boats. A boat called Ultra G, which we launched last year and delivered, is 40 knots at 200 feet.
Crazy.
With four 20 feet, 5,570 horsepower each.
That's so somebody 20, who doesn't have a whole lot of time, wants to go fast.
2022. Yeah. It's the largest, it's the fastest boat built with conventional diesels of its like type in the world.
Oh.
And then and just before it, we have an 80 meter that has four 20 Vs with a variable pitch wheel. And it's quite a unique construction process. We built it on what's basically a backbone, which is a huge I-beam. Running down
because aluminum, it looks like a gigantic spine.
because aluminum. Once, and that's why we're probably more in steel. Because unless you're doing these high speed boats, the medium of steel is better when you start getting up into the 55 to 65 range and bigger, because it doesn't flex as much. So it's a bit tricky to build something. So if your goal is speed, then we would do aluminum. All of the steel boats still have an aluminum superstructure,
right?
And our aluminum work is second to none. But Niels is right that 70% of our production now is steel, which is a dramatic change. But that change is simply the size of the boats.
Okay. Not so much the speed.
Well,
Have to be a bit slower, I guess. There would be full displacement.
A steel boat doesn't go fast.
Yeah, it doesn't go fast.
Yeah.
Or else they'll take over the boat.
It's relative. You get a big steel boat, they'll go 20 knots, depending on waterline. But if you want to go speed, traditional yachts between 50 and 60 meters, you're typically aluminum construction.
Right. Yeah. What other trends do you see in the changes on the market coming up?
Yeah, we see interior-wise, we see more the inside-outside connection, that you develop and engineer the boat looking from the outside, but also what does it mean inside? So what design,
windows.
We have a few boats where we have boats, same designer for the interior and the exterior.
Yeah.
That's definitely a trend what we see. And it's difficult. For example, you see a lot of yachts those days with a pool on the aft deck, which we have as well. Grace has a pool on the aft. And another new model we have, pool on the aft, but on Santosha, we have a beach club in the aft, and this owner would not have bought this yacht if it would have had a pool on the aft. The second one in the series, Evita, we are building right now, has a pool.
Oh, really?
On the aft deck. Yeah. Okay. So it's basically the same boat, same looks from the outside, except that the pool has changed. But maybe the third one in this series we will do again with the beach club, because what's the trend? I think Middle East people don't like a pool on the aft. Americans, I think, in general, yes, but specifically this client, no, so it's difficult to judge up front.
Yeah. It's interesting because that design was so specifically to make room for the beach club with that concave. Is it concave? I never know. Shape of the transom that actually allowed the platform to be larger. Yeah.
Well, big trends too is more getting down to the water. A terrace down boat, the transformer, which is the sea steers that come out of the back end of the boat, go down into the sea. Doors that are opening up, beach clubs, more of a interaction. If you look at old boat building, a canoe stern, big, you know, steel boats, you know, and, you know, nobody could get down to the water. Now that's probably the biggest change. A lot more windows, floor to ceiling windows. Right. A lot more, you know, the interiors now are much more modern. You don't see any old dark men's kind of smoking club, you know, triple crown moldings. Everything is quite modern, a lot more, you know, synthetic materials, not so much, you know, not so much, you know, cutting down virgin forests or slaughtering some exotic animal. You know, so, you know.
Those times are gone.
Now, well, that's kind of probably the trends that we see. But once you're introduced to it, it's hard to get away from it. And if it's done right, you know, one, you start with the right platform. Crew make a big difference on it.
I hear.
You know, all of the above. But if you have a good experience on yachts, you will probably stay in it. You know, the biggest, that's our biggest challenge, I think, is getting people into the right things. And I think that's the challenge of the industry, because there's a lot of
people.
There's a lot of promises that aren't kept.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. In terms of your fleet is quite substantial at the moment. I don't know how many boats you have afloat, you know, but
200,
quite
a few.
We're on
206.
Yeah, we're on 206 right now, probably in service, you know, really in service, probably 100, you know. I mean, some of them are, you know, you start to time out, you know, but actually it's amazing. There's a boat called Sea Axis here, and it was built in 1987. With
what?
Franz Hiesen, and it was built as Tropic Sea, and it was 121, so it's a 35-meter boat. And when it came to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show in 1987, it was like the Queen Mary. And when we used to dock alongside at the time, and Palmer Johnson had a boat at the time called Time, by this guy Seth Atwood, who was in the clock business.
I remember that.
And they had these rails that were lit, you know, kind of with fiber, and was exciting. So he had Tropic Sea and Time there. And I mean, and again, to show you the size of the Lauderdale Boat Show, the boats were, you know, bow to stern on the face dock. But that boat is still here in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, is it?
And it's now going on 30 years old.
Wow.
You know, and when Franz brought that here, he was King Kong.
So with all this large fleet, are you looking at making refit a big part of your business model, or how
is we're looking into it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have a whole lot of room because sheds are full.
There will definitely be at another location.
Yeah.
Because basically all the sheds are full. We are fully occupied, so you can bring them to us. So we definitely look into that because it's a potential additional business unit.
Yeah. Are you
and we do some small refits. If our current clients have some small requests, or we manage it from us when it's done, let's say in France or Spain, but we're not a real business unit refit. Well, look into that definitely. Mm.
Are you looking beyond us for facilities?
Oh yeah. We've got to go outside. The nice thing is we have Rotterdam to our west, and Rotterdam has got, you know, it's amazing what's in Rotterdam. I mean, it's a harbor and shipyard mecca. Yeah.
That would be the area where we are looking.
So that's the beauty. The beauty of Holland is what you can do in Holland. I mean, everything is there. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is that you want to do. These guys pour concrete underwater. They do shit that's like unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought the country was out of the water because of the little Dutch boy with the finger, but I think there's more to it, right? Keep the country out of the water.
Yeah, half of the country is below sea level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if America has problems somewhere, maybe in New York, they call in the Dutch and we fix it.
No, it is pretty amazing. No, the innovation, the you know, craftsmen, you name it. I mean, he said it earlier. You know, we have our phrase is crafted in Holland, home of yacht building.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty true.
The word comes from Dutch, right? Yacht is a Dutch word, isn't it?
Yacht.
Yeah. There's so much like okay. I mean, the Dutch influence in the United States is remarkable, especially if you go into the Northeast with the names of the towns.
New Amsterdam.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Small country, but a big influence.
Big influence. Yeah. The traders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big needs for markets in the history of Holland. Well, why don't we touch upon the fall shows? I mean, here we are in May, but the year is slipping away so fast. Now you touch upon one of them, Soulmates. We'll see. What are the plans other than that for the shows in the fall? What do we get to see?
I think that we're all talking, you know, what we did see during COVID was quite an interesting thing, that we didn't have any boat shows and we sold more boats than we have ever sold. Okay. So we all spend a great deal of resources on the boat shows, and they are a necessary component.
You're going to say evil there, weren't you?
Possibly, yeah, because we do make the informers of the world a lot of money on the backs of poor boat builders. And I think that, there's a lot of forward thinking, especially with the new shareholder, about direct targeting. We are already doing it, but, what do we do to get to the customer? Because we're not selling vacuum cleaners, as I say. And
there he is. He tells me that every day. Yeah.
We're not selling vacuum cleaners. So, it's a very targeted kind of, the demographic of the guy we're looking for, we kind of know at least the profile of the person and when he has to like boats. So how to get to him? Most people know us before we know them.
Yeah.
If they're in the industry or looking for any more than 5 minutes, they're going to know who the players are.
They probably have been reading it, Boat International, for years.
Been Boat International. But as Niels will tell you, it's a relationship business. You sell these things based on, you can have an even Steven on 2 or 3 yards, and the person is going to gravitate who he feels comfortable with. And I think the one thing that we do at Eason is we have quite a specialized or personal attention, because we don't build a lot,
right?
And we take a lot of time, and we have great references with our after sales and just the whole experience. Mm-hmm. And we realize that it's got to be fun, because if it's not fun, you shouldn't be doing it.
No, I think we hear these stories a lot that if people get frustrated, it's hard. It costs them a lot of time and a lot of money, and they don't get what they want when they want it.
No,
turns them off pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It's a long time acquiring clients. So
it obviously is. Yeah.
You know that much better than I do. I just repeat the stories that I hear. That's all. Well, listen, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything we want to talk about before we part ways and I let you go back to work?
We appreciate all the support you guys give to us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So thank you. And it's always good to have, it's hard to spread the word without the help of people like yourself. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I guess I heard there was some transaction going on, so I better get out of your way.
Need to get back to work, Tom. Sell some boats today.
All right. Get that letter of intent signed today.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Boat Briefing, a production of Boat International Media. This episode was mixed and edited by Naomi Wilson. Stay tuned for a new episode next week with news and interviews from the fascinating world of yachting.